You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Do we have the fear of God? Do I have the fear of God? Do you have the fear of God? Do we even know what the fear of God is? Do we know that we never get the fullness that we need regarding the treasure of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Do we know that the fear of the Lord is learned? And without the fear of God, it is sure we will perish. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. We know that the effect of every vision is now at hand. Nothing in the entire Word of God is sealed up in this time. The last day seals have been opened. Wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God will soon provide the only stability of these days that we now live in the Antichrist war on the saints. The Word of God, Yeshua, Jesus, the I Am, the Alpha and Omega, the one who taught Torah to Moses, the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. Do we know Him, and are we obeying Him? Knowledge of the Word of God and walking in the fear of God will soon be our only source of strength and salvation. Yeshua is the Hebrew word for salvation. The only treasure that is worth seeking now is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Have you found His treasure, the fear of the Lord? Did you know that the fear of the Lord is His treasure? Yes, read it. Read it yourself. Isaiah 33:6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Yeshua the Messiah tells us in Revelation 3:19 that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. As it was in the days of Noah, we have become a people that cannot be reproved or rebuked. We have grown to despise reproof and rebuke and correction and instruction in righteousness. This is the reason people are so ignorant of the Word of God. This is the reason people do not read the Word of God every day, because we do not like that excellent oil of the reproof of the Holy Ghost. And you see, first He's going to convince us and convict us of sin. He's not going to condemn us. But God wants to forgive us, but forgiveness takes two parties, one willing to forgive and the other willing to admit that we need forgiveness. And this is why people leave off reading the Word of God. If you look at the common denominator of every backslider that's ever backslid, though they may backslide into various different ways and types of sin, there is a common denominator of every believer that ever backslid and is in need of being born again again. Oh, yes, you can be born again again. If the Word of God teaches anything, it teaches that we were all born sinners and needed to be born again. And how can a man be born again? Nicodemus says, well, what's the difference between saying that and saying, how could a man be born again again? Same thing. Yes, the true God forgives sin. And I am one big sinner. That's what the Bible convinces me. And if I'm going to have even the beginning of wisdom, it starts with the fear of God. I so want to teach on the mystery of the ages, the glory of Messiah. Satan and his whole host of hell trembles at sound doctrine teaching on the glory of Messiah. Not heretical teaching, but sound doctrine teaching on the glory of Messiah. But a faithful minister of the gospel knows that without laying the sure foundation of the fear of God and reinforcing that foundation of the fear of God, we can set people up to crash and burn teaching on the glory of Messiah, even sound doctrine teaching on the glory of Messiah, without a foundation of the fear of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I believe you can receive the things of the Spirit of God. And I want to teach on the glory of Messiah. I want to go through the book of Ephesians, where we get the most in-depth look into the mystery of the ages that is found in the Scriptures. But I dare not do that without saying something and trying to strengthen your foundation in the fear of God. But the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Do you know someone who is spiritual enough to judge you? Yeah, that's the measure of true spirituality. The enabling to do and to give righteous judgment, because we've judged ourselves first on anything we would ever presume to judge someone else about. Yet such a spiritual man is judged of no man, because he's been judged by the Holy Spirit. He has judged himself righteously. Do you know someone who is spiritual enough to judge you? It's a real blessing if you do. And do we seek righteous judgment, or do we just seek confirmation and affirmation? Yeshua said, and pay close attention to this. As a matter of fact, that's what Yeshua said too. He said, take heed. This is very important. When the Lord in red letters says, take heed, we better pay attention. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, pay attention to this, it's very important. Take heed to yourselves. This is for you and me. Take heed to yourselves. The Lord said, take heed, pay attention to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Oh, I don't fear God. I love God. I hear people saying this and I just cringe and convulse in the spirit. Oh, I don't fear God. I love God. If you don't fear God, you do not even know him. If you do not fear God, you don't even know him. Only a fool would not fear a God who hath power to cast into hell. Jesus said so. Fear not men who, after they kill you, that's all they can do. I'll tell you who you should fear. Jesus said, fear him who, after he hath killed you, hath power to cast your soul into hell. Jesus said, I tell you, fear him. Don't tell me you love God. Show me. And there's only one way to demonstrate that you love God. Only one way. I'm glad you know the way. It really couldn't be any more simple, could it? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And yes, it was Jesus who wrote with his finger in stone those 10 commandments of God's royal law of love, life, and liberty. Hallelujah. 1 John 2, 3 and 4 says, and hereby, whenever you see hereby or herein, know that it's a defining example, a bedrock definition statement. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Those who regard and strive to keep the laws of God are not legalists. They are obedient. They fear God. Their regard for his laws proves that they know him and have responded to his love. They are proving their response to the love of God to themselves. And this is the key issue. Our obedience is how we prove a right response to the love of God to ourselves. And we really ought not to care what anyone else, other religious churchmen, think about our obedience. And if you think that keeping the law is legalism and not obedience, you've been deceived and have bought into a very strong delusion. Now, we're not saved by works. No, not by any means. We're saved 100% by grace. But if we are saved from the heart, we want to walk in obedience. The importance of the fear of God cannot be overstated, because we're living in a time that is marked by the fact that men will not endure sound doctrine. We're living in a time that there is deception at every turn, and it's a time of strong delusion. 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12 says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Why would God do that? That they all might be damned. What? Yes. This is the word of God. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. The Lord hates the froward mouth. Froward means perversity or fraud. To be froward means that you just cannot stand or find it in your heart to love anybody but yourself, and that you are annoyed. It troubles you to see others who live in love, and it makes you angry. And the froward person will make it his business to separate friends by telling lies, by talebearing, and to separate very close friends from one another. That's what the froward person does. And these are the truly bad men and bad women that do the devil's work. Folks who love God and strive to obey God's laws are not legalists. They're obedient and manifest the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also are they than the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity for this reason. Yeah, God says so. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. This is why people leave off reading his word. They don't want to be reproved. You read the word of God, you know you're going to be reproved. The Holy Spirit is going to convict you of something. And this is why we need it so desperately. And this is why in this Antichrist war on the saints, in these last days of great apostasy, we see how few even know the difference between a holy and a profane Bible, let alone reading it. But we need to read that more sure word of God in the God-promised perfect and only holy Bible, that KJV that I like to call the King Jesus Version, the authorized version, the God-promised perfect and only holy Bible. We need it every day. But God says, but you have said it not, all my counsel, you see, and would none of my reproof, you see. I also, because of this, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Let me say that again. I think if I say that again, you'll see Oprah Winfrey in the Church of Oprah Winfrey. You'll see the New Age Church when we say that again. Here's Oprah Winfrey. The rich, prosperous fool. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. They shall be quiet from fear of evil. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be good to dwell in safety and be quiet from fear of evil? Don't you want that? You need that in this day. Nothing is more threatening to the entire host of hell than sound doctrine teaching on the glory of Messiah. The glory of Messiah, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the mystery of the ages. Nothing so scares the whole host of hell like sound doctrine teaching on the glory of Messiah. I've wanted for a long time to teach on the glory of Messiah, especially expound in fullness the book of Ephesians, where we get the deepest look at the revelation of the mystery of the ages in any book in the Bible. But I know that I must lay and strengthen and reinforce the fear of the Lord before I do that. Because otherwise, teaching, even sound doctrine teaching on the glory of Messiah, is dangerous. It must be predicated and founded upon a reinforced foundation of the fear of God. So I'm just going to read a lot of scripture that deals with the fear of the Lord. And I pray you'll understand that the fear of the Lord is learned. It is His treasure. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. It's the treasure we need to be pursuing right now. And the fear of the Lord is learned. We never get enough of it. We always need some more of the fear of the Lord. But after we do this, Lord willing, the next thing that we will make available even on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation radio is sound doctrine on the glory of Messiah, teaching some of the deeper things of God that we need in this time of great tribulation in the Antichrist war on the saints from the book of Ephesians, the mystery of the ages, Christ in us, the hope of glory. If thou seekest for this treasure is silver, and searchest for it as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. By God's mercy and our agreement with the truth that we have sinned, iniquity is purged by the blood of Yeshua. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And it shall come to pass in the last days, yes, it shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. Brethren, we need all of the Word of God. It's so important that you understand all these things were written for our admonition and for our example upon whom the ends of the world have come. Everything in the Bible has a special application for us in this time. You see, Moses lived for us. Abraham lived for us. Jacob, Isaac, all the rest of them lived for us. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come, looking unto Yeshua, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne on high, the throne of God. He's sitting right at the Father's right hand, the very throne of God. And he went to that cross for you and me. Dearly beloved, be loved. Never, never, ever doubt the love of God. Dearly beloved, be loved. And let us, because we are loved by God, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He has given us commandments, not suggestions, commandments. There are 800 New Testament commandments, at least 800 of them. Too many for me to count right. I always get a different count every time I try and count them. But there's at least 800 of them. It is not legalism to keep his commandments. No, no, no. Legalism is obeying the doctrines of men. That's what legalism is, obeying the traditions and laws of men. It's not legalism to obey the commandments of God. It's simple obedience. It's what the right response to the love of God is. If you walk in the fear of God, you want to keep his commandments. It's not legalism to keep his commandments. It's simple obedience. Otherwise, you do not have the fear of God. And if you are short on the fear of God, somebody ought to love you enough to tell you. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks. Yes, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Brethren, you want to know the will of God, for this is the will of God. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints, to go into the clefts of the rock, and into the tops of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Do we compromise? Do we do things to impress the church folk? Are we free to do it because we have no sense of the fear of God? Is it possible that we compromise the truth in our own lives because we do not sense the fear of God? If these things happen, is it because we do not know the fear of God? Yes, that's the reason. Yes, that is the reason. If these things happen, that we do things to impress the church folks, that we compromise, the reason it happens, we do not know the fear of God. We, as a people in this perilous time, us who are of the day, need a genuine revelation of the fear of God. And what is the fear of God? Look in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. We like to talk about the shouting, and we like to talk about the manifestations and the miracles during the days of the early church, but we miss a key that was critical to everything that happened. And that is in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. And fear came upon every soul. What kind of change would happen in our gatherings if the fear of God settled down on every one of us? I'll tell you what would happen. The same thing that happened in the early church would take place among us. Signs and wonders, marvels and miracles, salvation of the lost. It's overwhelming. But the truth of the matter is that we are void to a strong degree of a sense of the fear of God. But this is coming upon the whole earth. And those who would be wise would strengthen the foundation and reinforce the foundation of the fear of God. But certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. What produced it? It was the fear of God that suddenly settled down on that church. It settled not only on those who were part of the church, but also on those who had heard about it, the fear of God. And then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. As a result, they were multiplied It's not our talent, not our ability, or our great preaching. It's the fear of God. The reality that brought the manifest glory of God was that the fear of God rested on the people. The fear of God took away the foolishness and the silliness and the fleshliness. The fear of God stripped away the carnality. And we see that the fear of God is the main principle through the entire Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. The command of the Lord is fear not. The fearful go to the lake of fire. Only the fear of God will cure the fearful and cause us to fear not what man, any man, even the man of sin and his beast government can do to us. The fear of God is the only good, right, proper, and healthy fear. The fear of God can and will remove and help you overcome any other fear. It is a foundational principle of the overcoming saints of these glorious last days. If you do not have the fear of God, you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Wherever there is the fear of God, there's no rebellion. Wherever there is the fear of God, there's no contention. Wherever there is the fear of God, there's no resistance. Do we really understand that when you submit, you're not resisting? One of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit is the heart motivated by the fear of God. The fear of God causes us to have a spirit of submission. The fear of God will produce a spirit of being in one accord. It's worth repeating. The fear of God will produce a spirit of being in one accord. And we should serve because of the fear of God. No wonder the Apostle Paul said concerning his preaching, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." There was something driving him that was more than the accolades of the people. Something drove him more than what people thought about it. There was something driving him that was deeper. And we learn as we listen to his challenges that it was the fear of God. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We should serve in the fear of God. And whatever you do, do not do it to impress men. Be obedient. Be the best servant you can be. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord because you have the fear of God. And let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. There's a Fear of God article, the Fear of the Lord article on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website. If you haven't read it for a while, I would encourage you to read it. But with just this little reinforcement of the fear of the Lord, I'm going to go ahead and put up the fullness of exposition that the Lord has given me of the book of Ephesians, where Paul, who saw things that were not lawful for a man to speak, gave the deepest revelation in the Word of God regarding the mystery of the ages. And this mystery of the ages makes the mystery of iniquity pale by comparison. These are the deeper things of God, the things that we need to walk in victory, to be more than conquerors in this Antichrist war on the saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe, and tremble. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. We must remain and abide. We must be in Yeshua Messiah, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then saith the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Then shall they answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God, and worshipped other gods and served them. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will raise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods, take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. The great apostasy and great falling away from the faith, and the falling away from the truth in these last days is evident. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Hallelujah. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.